Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all know baseball is a long season. I'm Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast. This summer, take a trip down memory lane with me and hear from the legends of the game. So far this year, I've had conversations with Randy Johnson, Pete Rose, Deion Sanders. Plus, every week we look at the state of Major League Baseball, which teams are exceeding expectations, which ones are struggling to meet them. Follow and listen to the Brett Boone Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning. Doug Sinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Just call 260-1870 or text us on the Oakland Heart Talk and Text Line. And text us your sports question, now your legal question, or either both. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, Doug, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. I watched the Tigers last night just climbing back into NCAA tournament contention. They played Texas A&M last night. Number one in the nation, by far probably the most talented team in the nation, and they stole another one last night, 6-4. So they've beaten Texas A&M Friday and Saturday, and they're back in it. They're very, very close to getting back into the tournament, which is 3 weeks ago seemed, they were 3-12, seemed almost impossible that would happen. And, they're coming back. But, you know, we have a history of doing that. I think one year, we won 23 out of the last 24 games. And then they had the Rally Possum. I don't know if you remember that in 2017.
I remember the Rally Possum.
So I don't know what the turning point is, but we've already have the series for Texas A&M. If they win today, they're in a very, very good position to make it into the tournament. They play Alabama next week in Tuscaloosa. They play Ole Miss. Their final series at home. Ole Miss, both of them are good, and but if we could take go 4-2, we're probably in. So. So go Tigers, but they're playing like we thought they would in the beginning of the year. I was looking at their lineup now. They have freshman at right field, freshman at second base. They have Jared the Bear. Jared is at first base, is a sophomore, and they're starting to evolve as a team, and so they seem to be back. But we'll see today. They play today at 1 o'clock, pregame at 12:30, first pitch at 1 o'clock. Stay tuned to WWL for the LSU game.
I was at a wedding last night, and there was a little high boy table with about five or six guys huddled around it watching the baseball game on their phone. Kind of like you did at my wedding night. LSU played Alabama back in 1991.
Yeah, but that was the Curly Hallman era.
But you were still watching, Doug.
But it wasn't like if it was a Nick Saban era or something, we would have been.
We wouldn't have had the wedding then.
Well,
if it was Saban era,
right? When you what is the groom throw? He throws his he throws the garter. If it would have hit the floor,
yeah,
because everybody would have been watching the game.
Right.
Actually,
back in the day, people had the transistor radio with the little earphone, you know. And, so, yeah, that coming up through their suit where you just see the little white wire and right. plugged into the ear, right?
Actually,
and then people go, "Whoa," during the mass.
Actually, I experienced that when I was 8 years old. My dad's last friend, who was getting married, the last holdout was getting married, and he actually, I think, got married on the day of the LSU-Notre Dame game in 1980. And it was the 3-0 game. And the priest asked the groomsman to, turn down the radio. And right. that was 1970. And also, I think some of the men might have had their, a portion of their house mortgage on their monthly note on the Tigers that day. So,
Of course, you got married during, right?
Huh?
Of course, you got married during March Madness. You recall that?
Yes. I did.
We snuck out the back and walked across the street. We were the ushers. Walked across the street, watched the basketball game. We said, "Okay, they're probably about wrapping it up." We walked back. Perfect timing. We, went up to the front of the church, and it was a good game.
Those Catholic masses, when you get married, you can count on, a good 45 minutes before you have to come back. You have to do a lot of processing and all that sort of thing. So, but yes, so go Tigers. Did you go to Jazz Fest? Did you go to Jazz Fest this weekend?
I'm going today, as a matter of fact. So, Colin, if you could play a little Jeffrey Osborne, maybe a little Earth, Wind, and Fire, I will spend my time at the Congo stage, even though I think there may not be any of the original Earth, Wind, and Fire members left. Of course, Jeffrey Osborne will be there.
Philip Bailey, huh?
I'm not sure. I hadn't looked it up, but so I think just... most of them have gone to the great by and by. But I tell you, I went about 5 years ago, and they had three or four of them there. When I'm telling you, it was 95 degrees, and they were up. And, with Earth, Wind, and Fire, they have 20 people on stage. And they were up there in these matching black and red tight leather suits with jackets and, up to their necks.
Okay.
I was waiting for somebody to pass out on stage. Like, I was about to pass out in the audience, and they're dancing and singing and them sweating bullets, but in these hot long sleeve. Like, somebody needed to tell them, "Guys, Y'all look good, but you could probably look good in something a little cooler."
So right now they're just Earth and Wind.
Yeah, that's right. Might just be Earth. I don't
Earth.
Know.
They might most be Earth. In the...
right. But I'm going to go anyway. I love the music, and and then there's a of course Bonnie Raitt's playing, and then this is all closing out, and then there's like a tribute band for Jimmy Buffett. Of course, it's going to be a lot of that, because he always closed out the Jazz Fest. The Neville Brothers did for years and years, and then Jimmy Buffett would come and do that. This was one of his big loves, was to come here and get all the parrot heads out.
Had you heard any feedback on Mick Jagger? Was he good?
I heard that it's kind of like. But it's been like that for 20 years. You don't want to look at them, but they sounded pretty good. And Mick Jagger was 80 years old running around on the stage, like he did 20 years ago. But 20 years ago, he was 60. So, but I heard they sounded really good. They put on a great show. Security, a lot of new rules and this and that, just for that event. But and then he called out Jeff Landry. I'm sure you heard that, right?
Yeah, please. Stupid. Nobody cares about Mick Jagger's political opinion.
Correct. And I don't care if he got up there, one way or the other, and said, "Oh, I love Donald Trump. I love Joe Biden." You know what? Just sing your song.
Sing your song and shut up.
Sing your song and it's always there to sing. It's not a political event.
Right. But not that I ever would watch the Meet the Press. And I don't. I don't watch many of those political shows. But if I ever did, I doubt I'd see Mick Jagger on there, right?
Exactly.
So,
although you there was a video circulating of Mark Hamill, right, from Star Wars.
Up there
with Jean Marie, whatever her name is, with talking about, you know. All right, now he said, any questions, but no Star Wars questions. So everybody's like, what the heck else are we going to ask you about?
Well,
like,
you know,
we think we're going to ask you about your political opinions.
I love when they get actors, like, who played in a movie about a farm and start asking them questions about, you know, farm policy. You know, I'm like, you're just an actor. You don't know what are you talking about?
It was probably 20 years ago in the Superdome. And everything was great. The music was great. You know, they were, then all of a sudden, you know, Don Henley, you know, they take a little break and he starts lecturing the audience on TEDs, the total exclusion devices, you know, and the shrimpers nets and all that. Look, everybody started booing.
He
shut up, went back to singing.
There you go. There you go.
You need to help your audience, buddy.
There you go.
Back to, you know, they shut it down. He kind of stopped mid-sentence during the boo and then went back and played music and said, okay, I'm preaching to a bunch of shrimpers here.
That's it. Last time I went, I didn't see the Rolling Stones. I was there when they were playing. About 32 years ago, they came to the Dome, and our friend got the suite from the Saints, and obviously Mr. Tom didn't want to go see the Rolling Stones for some reason. And I sat at the bar during the entire concert watching the Cincinnati Bengals Pittsburgh game. It was a Monday night. I found that a lot more interesting than watching.
Oh yeah, Pittsburgh too.
Cincinnati Pittsburgh, well, great rival.
Our friend Jamie, his brother married Dave Treen's daughter.
Okay.
And so they had the Superdome, you know, the Governor's Suite, the Superdome, and he would often get us tickets to, you know, those kinds of events because the governor could care less about driving in from Baton Rouge to come see the Rolling Stones. So so we got tickets. We sat in the suite for that same concert. Of course, we were about it at cloud level for the weed that was being smoked in the Superdome.
It made up your, yes.
Yeah, it made it all the way up to the suite level. And anyway.
Yeah, I was not that it's just not my kind. It was just, I'd rather watch a football game.
I always liked Rolling Stones. In fact, there was a best, what would they call it? Some sort of, you know, top 100 songs of the forever, right? And they would go all the way down this and that. And you would have thought that the Beatles would have had the top number, but Satisfaction was first. It kind of, you know, and I think they kind of said it sat, you know, it exemplified the generation. You know, right. I can't get no satisfaction, and
it was just
so the Stones song. Yeah, but the Beatles, of course, you know, were way up there.
You know, one thing about Keith Richards, I noticed that now at 80, he doesn't look much worse than he did when he was 30.
Exactly.
So
well, now. I know.
So he aged pretty good.
Yeah, because Willie Nelson just turned 91. Right. So if he can do it, God knows I can, right?
Well, I mean, but the thing, I mean, Keith Richard, you see, I don't know if it's a compliment or otherwise, or it's a backhanded compliment, right. But Keith Richard looks basically the same at 80 than he does 30, 50 years ago. There's not much difference. So.
Right.
He's aged well, I guess, you know, and
yeah, or pickled, I think might be a better
pickled
description.
So, yeah.
You know the story, you know the Rock and Bowl story, right? So back when Rock and Bowl was on Carrollton Avenue and Tulane in the old building, the Stones had played, and if you would walk up those creaky old steps, and about halfway up was a window. And they would collect money at the window you know, for the, because there was a cover charge because there's usually a band and that sort of thing. Well, it was the point where it was getting pretty popular. And so I think this was right around the time that concert that you and I went to in the Dome. And so here come this limo. It pulls up and out walks the Rolling Stones, and they start walking up the steps. And the old lady, I think she's still there collecting money. She's kind of like a little, you know, cover charge Nazi. But she ends up saying, that'll be $50 for the five of you. And the manager's like, do you understand? This is the Rolling Stones. She goes, they're going to let me in their concert for free? And he said, no. She turned them down, and they left. $50.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It makes for a great story now. It was pretty stupid at the time, right? Could you imagine, you know, everybody calling their friends, get over here, the Rolling Stones are here, right?
But she had a point. They probably just bagged a couple $100,000 for playing for 2 hours.
Of course they did.
Shell out the 50 bucks, you know? Son of a gun.
Yep. This is the Rolling Stones. We don't pay for tickets. You don't give me free tickets.
That's what professional football players do when they go to a golf course.
Yeah.
They give the look and they say, "Oh, you can go play."
You remember the tuna Michael Jordan thing, right?
I was actually there.
Right, but hanging the big, you know, a beautiful. I mean, that was one of his best works, and right. it was acrylic, and it was so well done. And we tell the story about.
Yeah. I mean, COD. Michael Jordan bought a piece from him, COD, put it in his house. And then, you know, they agreed for a price, which was a very substantial price. And no payment. So went up to his house, knocked on his door. I think his wife answered. Can we have it back? And threw it in a U-Haul.
He wouldn't call him back. And they went and pulled it off the wall. And
put it in a U-Haul and sent it back from Chicago.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So, but that's it.
But, yeah, everybody wants free stuff when they're, you know, because they're used to getting free admission, free everything. You know, oh, you're a celebrity, come eat for free. And, you know, it come in my restaurant and eat for free. And, yeah, boy.
Come on, guys, just put out the $50 and enjoy yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
But anyway, so the Stones, so they have Earth, Wind, and Fire, and they got, and they have Jeffrey Osborne today.
Jeffrey Osborne,
he was with LTD. He saw the old school soul.
Oh yeah. No,
so
I'm a big fan.
Oh, good. All right. Well, it's been a success. Colin, let me ask you this: you think when Ian got the assignment to cover Jazz Fest, do you think he was okay with that? Or did he say, darn it, do I have to cover Jazz Fest?
He's probably having fun.
I know he's having fun.
He's probably having fun.
He's like, I get paid for this.
He might be having fun.
Yes. So there you go. All right. Let's go to a break. Let's see. Colin, you got some Earth, Wind, and Fire queued up here? Yeah, he does. There he goes. So we're going to take a break. Ducks and Sarah, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball season is heating up.
Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.
Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Mystic Dan won the Kentucky Derby yesterday, ridden by what? Paul Hernandez Jr.?
Yeah, I think he went off like 20-1.
From Lafayette. Our jockeys from Lafayette. Another one from Lafayette. They had another great jockey from the area, Kent DeSormo. He was an Eclipse winner as the best jockey as a rookie, and I think thereafter. So congratulations to all the people who bet Mystic Dan, and and sorry to the ones who didn't. All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to, is that Ken? Randy. Hey, Randy, you on All Things Legal.
Hello, my name is Randy, and
yes,
I was left in a will. I was left in will from my Uncle Bobby Edwards, who died in 2012. Mm-hmm. They opened it, and BMI said, yes, yep, you win it. There's 14 songs in it. Now, I've had four lawyers, and they wouldn't give it to me. I've had four lawyers, two state judges, a lieutenant governor. Yet now the United States Supreme Court stepped in and made them sell their company and still won't give me the will. And that's where I'm at now.
When you say give you the will, what in the will were you entitled
to? There's 14 songs that my uncle left me in his will.
Okay, 14 songs. What type of songs are they?
Well, one of them is Singing the Blues, and it went all over the world. That's World Gold Records.
Okay, so he left you the publishing rights to the song?
Yep.
He left you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And,
yes, sir, he did.
Let me ask you, you were going through this, you know, all these judges and lawyers. Where are you from a legal perspective? What was their adjudication or their rulings?
Well, they opened it and read it and wrote me a letter. And when they wrote me a letter, they said, yes, Mr. Moncrief, you're in it. There's 14 songs your uncle left you. And I said, well, I have to go across the river and get a secession to get my legal songs. I went across the river, got a secession, mailed it back to them, and they said they won't give them to me.
And who's, then I they? Went, who's they?
BMI in New York City.
Okay.
BMI in New York City's got a will, and they refused to give it to me.
Okay. Well, based on the information you're telling me, would it sounds like that you were left any rights that he had to songs that he had written, or the publishing rights? So the first thing you would have to determine whether he owned the publishing rights or the record label did. Okay. Now, if there's a dispute as to who owns the publishing rights, then you would actually have to hire a lawyer to enforce that right if you receive the right in the succession. So typically what you would have when the succession is settled, part of the judgment of possession would be you as a legatee or a specific legatee would have the publishing rights to these songs. And then if there's some dispute about, you know, who owns the publishing rights, then you would have to, in essence, litigate that with the record label. In other words,
right.
Saying, hey,
yeah,
I have a claim for that.
You'd have to hire an intellectual property attorney, right, that and is trained in reviewing those types of contracts for intellectual property, which would be those types of rights.
Because, you know,
the songs, the songs are in my daddy's name, David Moncrief.
What we're telling you is they may or may not, okay? But that's the first thing you have to determine, because a lot of singers who have songs don't own the songs. That, you know, sometimes, you know, record label will own the publishing rights. Sometimes, that, you know, now there's nuances to it. But basically, if would the will, I would guess is saying any claims I have to these songs, you get. Now, if VMI is making a claim that they own the songs, just like Albert said, you'd have to get an intellectual property lawyer to have that sorted out as to who's the owner.
VMI, the United States stepped in and made them sell their company.
Okay.
There's no more VMI. It's called New Mountain Capital.
Okay, New Mountain Capital. So they're claiming they own. Who are they claiming they own the song?
I don't know. But
well, you got to. Okay, that's
the song
one of the problems.
On dad's name.
I know. Yes, you've said that, but I don't know why you're calling, except we're trying to tell you what the issue is. It says it's in your dad's name. Obviously, the new company thinks they have some type of claim to it, right? Because if they didn't have a claim to it, then they would acknowledge that it's your song, right?
Well, they said they were. They said they got 14 songs.
Who's
but they refused to give them to me.
Okay, so there's a dispute, right? So what do you want from us?
I just want everybody to know what they did to me.
Oh, so you don't want a solution, you just want a blowhorn, right? To say everybody did this to me.
I'd like to have a solution if I could.
Okay, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so what your solution would be is you would have to hire an intellectual property lawyer to claim those rights against the successor company. That would be your solution. Okay? You'd have to, first of all, have the songs adjudicated to you through a judgment of possession. In the succession, they would have a judgment of possession that would say, you as the specific legatee own the songs or you have any rights to those songs. At that point, you would have any ownership interest that the decedent had at that time. And then, after that, if there's still a dispute, you have to sort that out with the record company or publishing company saying, you know, hiring through a court proceeding as to who's the owner of the song, who is the rightful owner of the song. And at that point, you could have a disposition. All right.
Thank
you for the call. I think that was a first, but interesting issue, and that actually happens quite a bit in the record industry, and sure. You know who owns publishing rights, and you know it's got its own little issues that there's a lot of litigation on, well known litigation on fighting over who owns particular songs.
Right.
I know years ago Michael Jackson bought Paul McCartney's catalog after he did a collaborative record with him, and Paul McCartney had to buy it back. He was able to afford to do so. So, a lot happening there as far as legal aspects of the music industry. So let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Back when I was sort of in a different sphere, I was asked to review a contract of a heavy metal band that was well known worldwide. They're from New Orleans. And there's not, some people could probably figure out who it is, but, when they engaged me, I was like, do I have to listen to this music or can I just review the contract? And I said, no, you can just do the contract. And so we reviewed it and they said, what conclusion did you have after it was the first contract with the label? And I said, if young men one of, I said, if people saw this contract, young boys would aspire to be rock and roll stars, accountants and lawyers, rather than a rock and roll star, because the accountants and lawyers are going to do a lot better when they do well than the actual talent. So, which things have changed since then, but so you know they usually when you know this talent gets signed initially, the terms are very onerous for the record company or the manager, because you know he's taking a flyer on all these groups, and if one hits, you know they you know he might get 60-70% and the talent gets 30, and then they have to renegotiate after. But it's sort of interesting business, you know I'm sure most of those performers at Jazz Fest have had their fill of accountants and lawyers trying right. to deal with all the issues they have to deal with. So, but it's just like any other business. It's fascinating.
And those guys, the producers, et cetera, they would take advantage of young talent and say, look, right. you want to be a star? Sign this contract. You know, we're not going to sign you. We're not going to, you know, get them to play your music. We're not going to promote you. And so, yeah, they'll do anything to get their foot in the door, and then they sign a bad contract.
Now, you see, and one of the things, a lot of artists are very good in the artistic part of their brain, but on the business side, they're not as astute. And
a lot
that's
of lawyers,
why, like, a lot of,
you know,
yeah.
Not to change the subject, but I went up to the legislature. There was a bill being discussed in the legislature, and so I went to the committee hearing, and for probably 4 hours, there was discussion about the cosmetology bills and the acts, and whether they were going to reduce the 1,500 hours of schooling to 1,000 hours of schooling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there was people getting up and speaking on both sides. And I mean, it lasted very, very long. But this lady got up at the end, and she said, I don't care if it's a 1,500 hours or 1,000 hours. She said, I've been in business for 24 years. And she says, they come out of those schools, and I got to train them and teach them all over again. She said, they don't know how to use a washing machine, a lot of them. You know, you got to wash the towels and the whatever, right? She said, I got to teach them so many things. She said, these schools are not teaching them accounting. They're not teaching them how to have a budget. They're not teaching them how to collect money. They're not, you know, and we're going on. They're not teaching them a retirement account to save money and put money aside. She said, they're not teaching them any of this. And she said, so what happens is they get out and they might be able to, you know, to do hair, but they have no skills in business. And she said, it's an injustice. And look, people in the audience were clapping. Of course, you can't do that in the audience at a committee hearing,
right,
but it was
right.
true. And it's true. And I think they need to have that in every curriculum, make you take a basic accounting class so you can read a balance sheet. You can know, you know, what in case you are the boss one day, right?
So,
or you want to start your business, you got to know those things.
So what you're saying is you think that Keith Richards should have took a CPA class or accounting class before he became a rock and roll star, huh?
Well, that's a little different. But
no, I know. I'm just kidding.
You're getting educated to do what you do.
It's true. A doctor's too.
Right? I mean, even in law school, there should be a course in, or even a skills class or something where, you know, hey, look, if you're going to have this, is what it's going to cost, and you're going to have to pay this insurance and this is what workers comp.
Absolutely.
You know, you're going
absolutely.
All of them.
Well, you know, also too, they're starting to do that in med school and dental school a little bit. Because we had a very interesting, we had participated in selling some dental practices, and they had a very interesting dynamics. You had the old school dentist who knew how to interact with the patients. They had personal relationships. They felt very comfortable. And when they sold their practice to the new dentist, who was just out of school, about $400,000 of debt, the dental practice would go down. Because the new dentists didn't have those, you know, bedside manners or manner as far as how to interact with the dentist. He, you know, too many appointments in one day, a lot of customer dissatisfaction, a lot of marketing, legal, and administrative tasks they really didn't know how to execute on, and it ended up running the practice down, and they would want the money back from the dentist that sold the practice to them to begin with. And you're like, well, you had a good practice, but you didn't know how to administer it. You didn't know how to interact with your patients. You didn't know how to problem solve. You didn't know how to do the certain things in order to have a business. Right. They might have been good dentists. And you find out, you know, and when that happens, they end up in our office because, you know, and you're sorting out those type of issues.
Well, I kind of tell you, I learned something. I learned a lot of things, but I learned from just watching Drago Satanovic, right? The good old Drago. And you learn that having a good restaurant is not just having good food and good service. It's about relationships, you know, walking to the table, being there. And when that happens, people feel more comfortable. It's a more enjoyable experience for them to go sit down and dine in your restaurant. And, you know, and if you have a little off night, they forgive you, right? They're not going to write you a bad Yelp report and never come back. They're, hey, this is, I've got a relationship with this restaurant owner, a restaurateur, and, you know, this is a good person, and I'm going to come back and, you know, and enjoy their food again. And that is the magic of having that type of restaurant, that type of relationship. And it's the same thing across the lines of every profession, right? I mean, you want customer service in your law firm. You want customer service in your medical practice. You know, may I help you? You know, how can I help you? Hold, please. Just simple things, you know, teaching your waiters and your bus people to not say no problem when somebody says, you know, thank you. It better not be a problem. You're there to serve me my food and make this a great experience. Yeah. You should say, you're welcome. My pleasure. You know, just little things like that, you know, are so lacking these days. And it's just, like you said, the old school dentists, the old school folks, it was a different time. And it's why they built such a good practice, because they have that customer service. They have those relationships.
That's right. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. Got about a minute and a half. Now, one person, one artist who was able to monetize all aspects of his music was Jimmy Buffett. He was a brilliant businessman, and he was able to take an entire lifestyle about his song and monetize it into, assisted living, restaurants, hotels, casinos, and he was just brilliant at it. And he was very, very well rounded, and was able to do a lot of head on both sides of the brain there. So I think this is the first Jazz Fest without Jimmy Buffett, right? Yes. So we'll see. Second hour. When we go to break, I was going to ask you, Albert, and you can think about this during the break. How many games are the Saints going to have on prime time next year? My over under is 2.5. And as Cullen said, one of the games will be the Saints in Denver. It has to be on prime time.
It'll be Sean Payton coming back to New Orleans.
So we're going to national news, local news. We'll be back for hour number two and all things legal. So stay tuned. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.